Well, hey everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Crickets to Cha-Chings. My name is Lauren Keplinger, and today we are continuing our series about myths surrounding having an online business, particularly selling on Etsy, although I would venture to say that it's true of a lot of online businesses, regardless of what you're selling or what platform you're using. But we are in week 4 of myth busting. Last week's was about passive income and the myths surrounding passive income. I have gotten so much feedback about that episode. So thank you guys for sending me Instagram DMs and emails and all the things that just say, you know, thank you for telling it how it is, or thank you for your real talk. Thank you for not buying into the internet marketing and being willing to kind of blow smoke and mirrors so that people are just sold on those marketing things. So thank you guys for that feedback and those words of encouragement and all of that. It's really nice for me to hear it because it's nice, you know, I mean, a lot of times I just feel like I'm talking to myself, sitting in my office, talking on the microphone. So it's nice to know that people are listening and that they resonate with the message and also that they've noticed these things in the sphere of internet marketing. So yeah, thank you. Today we're going to start talking about myth number 4. And myth number 4 is a little bit of a different one. It is sort of something, I don't know that people would necessarily verbalize it this way, but it's an idea that I hear a lot of and a way of people stumbling into online business that kind of brings them in a roundabout journey of growing the business and having to shift a lot over time. So myth number 4 is you can create a business out of any product that you want. There are a lot of people on the internet that have something that they like to make, or they've been crafting for a while, or they have a hobby, or whatever, or even they teach themselves like I did, something that they want to make a business out of. So they teach themselves a skill in order to start a business. And then somewhere along the way, someone tells them that they're really cute, they should sell them online. All of a sudden they open an Etsy shop and then they're surprised when the things that they've seen other people selling and that they've taught themselves how to make, or just that they've been making for a long time and they enjoy crafting and making and all of that kind of stuff. They're surprised when those things aren't like flying off the shelves. They think it's going to be pretty simple, pretty easy, and pretty fast, which we've kind of addressed all of those myths in the previous weeks. But there are still those that, you know, stumble into business ownership, I guess, when they weren't really setting out to start a business or they don't really have any business background. That's a lot of us. I have historically given a lot of advice about what you can sell online and the fact that I think that you can sell almost anything online. And I would stand behind that. It is true that you can sell almost any kind of product or category of product or weird hyper niche item on the internet. It allows you to expand beyond just your local area, especially for those of us that are like in really small towns and stuff. The internet allows you to expand beyond your local area and be able to reach a worldwide audience. So all of a sudden that hyper niche item has a larger audience built into it because you're reaching however many millions and billions of people are on the planet shopping on Etsy rather than just trying to, you know, sell something to the 50,000 people in your town or whatever. But I would caveat it by saying that at this point in e-commerce, it is not really so much true that you can sell anything online. I think that you can sell almost any category of products. I think that you can sell almost any kind of niche thing that appeals to a narrow market. But I would not necessarily say that you can sell any kind of product or any individual product online. A few things really make or break the success of a product and whether you have especially like long-term success selling it. And we're going to go through all of these things today. But the first one is demand. The second one is a defined audience. And the third one is something that makes it special in comparison to your competition. Or alternatively, there's just simply enough demand that you can get sales, even though there's nothing really particularly special about your product, but there's enough demand that you can still kind of trickle in the sales and get enough sales that it makes a difference for your business. So let's start off talking about demand. Let's say you have a product that you really love to make, but it is for an extremely narrow market. Let's say millennial women who are Harry Potter fans, and if they were in front of the Sorting Hat, they would be Slytherins. Well, okay, you definitely have a defined audience, so you're checking off number two in our list of things that we need for a successful product. But what about demand? Is there enough demand for that product? Maybe, but is there enough demand for you to have sales at a level that it's going to bring in a meaningful income for you? The answer very well may be yes, depending on what kind of hyper niche we're talking about. I don't know that this specific example there would be enough demand, but there very well might be enough demand in the hyper niche that you have. But the answer also might be no. So what if it is no? Does that mean that that's not a product that you should carry in your shop? You should just disregard it and stop making it completely? Not necessarily. It just means that you either have to accept the limitations of how large that business is going to be able to grow, staying in that very narrow market. So accept the fact that you're probably going to have a limited number of sales because you have narrowed things down so much with the hyper specificity of the product that there is not a super huge amount of demand for it, or you have to get a little bit broader in what you're offering in order to expand the demand. That doesn't necessarily mean that this individual product needs to get broader. It doesn't mean that rather than millennial women who are Slytherins, you need to just appeal to general Harry Potter fans or fantasy book readers or something that's like much higher level categorically. But it means that maybe if we're sticking with this original example, maybe we create some products that also appeal to millennial women who are Gryffindors. Obviously, this is not an example you should run with because I would never tell you to build your business around a trademarked and heavily protected entity, but the idea holds for every product. If this product is really, really narrow and really, really specific, what other kinds of really narrow and really specific products within that same category of product or appealing to that same audience or falling within the same niche might also work within your business? How can you expand your demand or increase the demand or the appeal of your products while still staying narrow within each product individually? If the demand of your products is not really high, you have such a narrow market that you have almost narrowed it down too much to where in a room full of 100 people, only one person is going to identify with that product, it's going to be very difficult to build an entire business around that product. So how can you expand that demand to where in that same room of 100 people, maybe you have 10 different products that each appeal to one specific person or two specific people? Then all of a sudden, you have expanded your ability to kind of harness the demand from those people or their identifying with the products that you're carrying in your shop in a broader spectrum of groups of people. The second part that goes into whether or not your product is really going to be successful and also just be able to get found on Etsy is having a defined audience. I have talked about this over and over and over again, so hopefully this is not new information for you. Over the past few years, I've really, really drilled down on having a defined audience that is narrow enough that they're going to see themselves in your product and is not a generic or sort of vanilla product that anybody could buy. You have to have a defined audience to whom your products are going to appeal in order to be successful. That is a non-negotiable aspect of selling on Etsy and selling on the internet in 2023. No longer can you just appeal to a middle-aged, middle-class woman. That is too broad. If you say the perfect person for this product is a 40-year-old middle-class woman, then I'm going to say your product is too generic to get found and you're going to have 100 million competitors. There is nothing about it that makes that product stand out, and there's nothing about it that makes that person, that customer that's shopping for it, be drawn to yours versus the 50,000 others that are almost identical. So what does that mean for you in terms of your product development? It means that if you are making printables that take you 10 minutes to make on Canva, or if you're buying PLR type products and you're changing the color of them and then literally selling the exact same thing as thousands upon thousands of other people, if you're making t-shirts for POD where you purchase the clip art from Creative Market and you slap it on a t-shirt, if you're making candles with basic scents and basic labels that you drew up in a Word document and printed on your home computer, or jewelry that is just a silver hoop or a silver stud, and on and on and on, it's going to be really difficult for you. I'm not saying that to discourage you, but much like the other episodes that I have done with these myths where I feel like I'm like the bearer of bad news, I don't want to sit here and tell you that if you're making silver stud earrings that you should quit your day job because your Etsy shop is going to take off. You are on your way to millions. I think it sets unrealistic expectations for people. And I frankly think it's a disservice to the people that I work with, the people that are listening to this podcast, everybody, when you are told things like that, because then your expectation is so out of alignment with what the reality is going to be that either you get really frustrated and you quit, or you internalize the lack of success and then you feel like, well, I'm just failing at this, or I'm a failure and nobody likes my products and I don't know what I'm doing anyway and I just can't do this. And you kind of internalize it as this own personal failure, which I see all the time from people who say, you know, I did this program or whatever, and it's not working for me. And I just don't know what's wrong with me. And I'm like, there's not anything wrong with you. That is selling you on a dream that does not exist. And that goes back to the passive income episode. So if you didn't listen to that one, go back and listen to that one. But I don't want you to internalize that. I don't want you to feel like there's something wrong with you or even something wrong with your ability to make products that do have demand. But those products, while they may sell in person if you are at a craft show or you have them on consignment at a store or something like that, online, it's not going to translate the same way because you're going to be next to tens of thousands of other people that are selling very, very similar things. So there's not necessarily anything wrong with the product. It's that it's not going to connect with your audience on the internet strongly enough to make somebody buy that product without any kind of sales mechanism to have them make an emotional decision. They're not standing at a booth at a craft fair talking to you. They're not having the experience of walking into a brick and mortar on vacation and picking something up and treating themselves. They're not having those other sensory experiences. So they're just buying it on the internet, and those generic products are not going to translate well on the internet for a sale. So I want you to ask yourself, why would somebody buy this product? Not why would somebody buy from my shop, or why would somebody buy something like this? Why would somebody buy this one listing that I have? Let's say it's a vanilla candle. It's not going to be because it's handmade. So are all the other ones that you're up against on Etsy, on Fair, wherever you're selling. Being handmade at this point is not enough of a differentiator to make somebody buy it. It's not going to be because it's a soy candle. So are most of the other ones that people are selling online, and the buyer most of the time doesn't really care about that. It's not going to be because it's vanilla scented. There are 40,000 other vanilla scented candles just on the Etsy platform. I just looked this morning. Not to mention, you can find vanilla candles in any store basically that sells candles. And even if yours is the best smelling vanilla candle that exists on this entire planet Earth, the buyer can't smell it when you're buying it online. So they don't know that it is hands down the best vanilla scented candle you will ever buy. So what is going to make that person decide to check out? What is going to make that person decide to buy from your shop, to buy this specific listing? If you can't answer that question, you're in trouble. You need to have an answer for it. Because if there is not anything special about your product, and somebody could buy a very similar, if not exactly the same product from dozens or hundreds of other sellers, then it's going to be very tough to build your business around that product. Unless there's so much demand for the product that you can hop on the bandwagon and still see some trickle-down effect of sales. Which brings us to point number three. You need to have something about your product that is special enough that it makes you stand out among your competition, which is what we were just talking about, or a product needs to be so popular and so trendy that there are enough buyers out there that you can see some level of success regardless of the amount of competition on the platform. The most extreme example that I can think of this was face masks in the spring of 2020. If you were selling face masks on Etsy in the spring of 2020, you were selling out like crazy. It pretty much didn't matter how you priced your product, what your sales history was, if you were just getting started, pretty much none of the details mattered. The demand so far exceeded the supply that you could have amazing success with that product, even though your individual listing really didn't have anything special about it. But much like we talked about in the last episode about passive income, with all big trends and all sales waves, there will come a time when the supply outweighs the demand, or like face masks, the demand drops so dramatically, and then the supply is like way, way, way overinflated for the demand. And then the trend will pass, or your prices will be driven super way down and your sales will slow super way down. And that's where your products really have to stand out. When you're faced with actual competition and the demand decreases from a trend like that, how are your products differentiated from others in your same category of sellers? If they're not, you will end up with declining sales, or you will just have sales that never really take off if you're kind of stepping into a trend on the tail end of it. If what you are making is kind of like a crafting hobby, and you don't have anything particular about it that makes it special or unique or stand out as a product that people want to buy from you, it's going to be a struggle. One product that comes to mind like that is things that like people make from like MLM type, subscription type things that they get sucked into. So I was thinking about while I was kind of writing out the notes for this episode, like stamping greeting card stuff. Everybody's aunt, grandma, sister, cousin had paper and stamps to make handmade greeting cards like 15 years ago. And if that's the product that you want to sell, you better have some way of making those cards different than what my aunt, my grandma, my sister, and my cousin can and do make in their kitchen. Because otherwise, it's just a hobby, which is totally fine. I'd like to reiterate that there's nothing wrong with a hobby, but it's not a business. A business requires you to have a product that I want to pay for, that I want to pay money because I value the uniqueness and the quality and the skill, or I don't have the equipment, or whatever it is that you have in making this product that I don't have, so I can't make it for myself. And that is not to say, for example, in that instance with handmade greeting cards, you can make handmade greeting cards and you can be a, multi 5-6 figures in sales on Etsy. There are Etsy shops that have huge amounts of sales in handmade greeting cards, but the greeting cards are unique enough or have something special about them enough, or they have a different style or a funny message or whatever it is that makes that particular listing unique, that's not the same thing as what my aunt and grandma and sister and cousin make at their kitchen table. So ultimately, can you create an entire business out of one product? Long term, I would say most likely not, but a lot of it also depends on what your goals are for your business and your revenue. If your goal is like $100 a month, you may very well be able to get there with one main product, although you will likely still need some variations of that product in order to have more than just one listing that you're selling. But, you know, you might be able to make $100 a month on one product. If your goal is $2,000 a month or $10,000 a month, you're not very likely to get there selling only one product or only one kind of product. In my own shop, I have seen this play out really dramatically over the last few years as I have narrowed down the products that I had. I started my shop with burp cloths and bibs, and then I added a lot of variety over the years. I had all kinds of things, shirts and pajamas and swaddle sacks and all kinds of different things. And I added the quilts and the bunnies during that time. The quilts and the bunnies sold really, really well independently of all of the other stuff. And they were quicker and they were higher profit because I was doing appliques on all of the other products. And then I was only just doing the monogram on those two items. So they were quicker to make. The sales were good for them and they stayed pretty solid with those for several years that I had all this stuff in my shop. But when I started coaching and doing the podcast and the courses and all of that, something had to give. I could not do the more time-consuming items in my Etsy shop while also growing this other part of the business and doing all of the various pieces of my very non-passive coaching business that I needed to be doing or that I wanted to be doing. So I dropped the burp cloths and the bibs and all of the applique items. That has been a good thing for me in terms of balance in my life, but my revenue in my shop has decreased when I have so dramatically decreased the number of products that I am selling. I don't want really to increase the revenue in my shop at this point. It's at a really comfortable level for me where it's very manageable. It's high enough that it is definitely a meaningful income for me, but it's not so time consuming that it's something that stresses me out. I feel like it is at like the perfect sweet spot. But I also know that if I wanted to grow that revenue, if I wanted to, you know, get back to $180,000, $200,000, $250,000 in revenue in a year, I would definitely need to add more variety of products. I would need to have a broader range of things I was offering. I would need to have more color options and font options and, you know, monogram options and all of that kind of stuff. There's just too much competition and not enough demand for me to make $200,000 a year just selling blankets and bunnies. It just doesn't work. The math doesn't work. There's not enough demand and there's too much competition for me to be able to do that just on Etsy. That's not my goal at this point, and I'm really happy with the balance that I have in my like real life off of Etsy versus what I have to do to get the orders done on Etsy and stay on top of my orders and also not have it stress me out. But I think that it's really important to recognize that for myself and also as I'm teaching you guys, because it would be a consideration moving forward to look realistically at the growth of the shop and what the potential would be for the revenue in that shop without adding new products or without adding new variations to that product, because it's probably going to be somewhat constricted by just the lack of variety in my shop. I really only have blankets and bunnies. That's it. So for me, that is something that is important to acknowledge, although I'm not going to do anything about it because that's not in line with my goals. But that also kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. If your goal is a revenue amount that makes a meaningful income for your family, also allows you to have balance and also allows you not to be stressed out about it, then it very well could be that limiting the number of products that you have in your shop allows you to stay at a comfortable level without your shop growing too much, too fast, stressing you out, all of that kind of stuff. And that's a conscious decision for you. If your desire for your shop is to grow as large as possible and as quickly as possible and at the highest revenue amount that you possibly can hit, then you're probably going to have more than just a handful of products in your shop. You're going to have enough variety in your business that you can attract different kinds of customers, that you have different appeal to different audiences or different options for the same audience within your business, and that you're able to build on the demand for that product by expanding beyond just this one narrow demand for this one narrow product. I hope that this has been helpful for you and that you've enjoyed this episode. We will have another myth back at you next week. And in the meantime, if you want to check out any of the workshops or spreadsheets or courses or anything that I have, you can head on over to crickets2chachings.com. And that is my new shop where everything is listed, all of the workshops and courses and joint workshops that I've done with other people over the past year or so. All of it is listed there. So I will see you back here for another episode next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.